Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a Minneapolis VA healthcare system research overview, and we'll visit with Toys for Military Kids. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
From the halls of Montezuma to the mountains of Afghanistan, United States Marines have served valiantly in our nation's conflicts. Marines, past and present, have earned their place within its proud culture of traditions, symbols, and values. On November 10th, the Marines celebrate their birthday. The date was established as Marine Corps' holiday in 1921 and carries many traditions. Marines around the world celebrate with the reading of a birthday message from the Commandant, the cutting of a birthday cake by the commanding officer, and a presentation of the first and second pieces of cake to the oldest and youngest Marines present. Marines have fought, lived, and died with honor, and continue the Marine Corps legacy of service to our nation. Semper Fidelis became the Marine Corps' motto in 1883. It guides Marines to remain faithful to their mission at hand, to each other, to the Corps, and to country, no matter what. Once a Marine, always a Marine, they say. Congratulations on the proud tradition of the United States Marines.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Minneapolis VA research overview is Hannah Bloomfield. Hannah is a graduate of Harvard College and Boston University Schools of Medicine and Public Health. She is a board-certified general interest associate chief of staff for research at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and professor of medicine at the University of Minnesota. And she works on health services research with an emphasis on chronic conditions common in older veterans. Dr. Bloomfield, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
That was a long list of titles and schools and all of those things. How many years have you been at the VA hospital?
I've been at the Minneapolis VA for 25 years, and before that I was at the Boston VA for probably for about 10 years. I'm dating myself.
Well, as I said earlier when we were talking, you must have started when you were about 10, since you look pretty good. Anna, can you tell me, what does your position consist of at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center? It says that you're in charge of health services research with an emphasis on chronic conditions. Are there a lot of projects? What do you do?
Well, I'm actually right now in charge of all the research programs at the Minneapolis VA, and we have a very big portfolio of research that includes health services research, which is figuring out how to get care to veterans. So if we know that something works, how do we actually implement it in a healthcare system? So that's health services research. But we also have programs in clinical research, which is trying to figure out how to treat patients for specific diseases. So for example, what's the best treatment for hypertension, or what's the best treatment for coronary artery disease? So we do a lot of clinical trials that look at those kinds of treatments. And finally, we also have basic science research. So that's research in the labs, kind of test tube research, where we are examining the basic mechanisms of disease. So for example, one of the things we're doing now in our basic science labs is to figure out if we can put chemotherapy for cancer, if we can put the drugs on little tiny particles called nanoparticles, then the drugs, which are toxic, can get right to the cancer rather than to the whole cell. So I'm sure all your listeners know people who've had chemotherapy for cancer. They get sick. They feel horrible. Their hair falls out. What if we could just take those drugs that are needed to kill the cancer cells and bring them right to the cancer cells only and not to all the other cells of the body? So that's one area of very exciting research we have going on in the basic science area.
Now, Doctor, I think the last time I talked to the Director Kelly, he told me that you take care of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system takes care of about 100,000 veterans. Is that close, do you think?
I would not disagree with Director Kelly.
It would seem to me that when you've got that many veterans coming through, that when you're talking about cancer or you're talking about high blood pressure, you're talking about high blood sugar, those type of things, diabetes, you've got a lot of people coming through, and that must facilitate the research projects that you're working on.
Well, I guess I wouldn't put it that they facilitate our research. We're hoping that our research will help the health of veterans. So, but we do focus particularly on diseases that are common in veterans. So you're absolutely right. They're unfortunately diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, arthritis. A lot of the chronic diseases are very prevalent in veterans. So a lot of our work is along those lines. And even though, and PTSD and some things that are very related, mental health things related to service as well, I should add. So we try to focus on things that are highly prevalent in the veteran population. And that's why VA has its own research program, because if you just depended on the NIH or other foundations or other research funding mechanisms, they might not have as specific a focus on the problems that veterans have. Although veterans are people and they have the same problems as everybody else, but they also have some unique challenges.
Veterans are people too.
Yes.
I like that. We're speaking to Dr. Hannah Bloomfield from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, my point was that with that volume of patients coming through, you must have some of the most experienced doctors around, because there's just so many of them with those type of similar problems.
Well, we have a ton of doctors, and the fact that we have a really robust research program actually attracts very high-quality doctors to the VA system. And that's one reason that the VA funds its own research, is because it knows if it funds research, that's an attraction to highly educated doctors. And so veterans get the best in clinical care from doctors who are also trained to do research and focus on veteran-specific issues. It's wonderful. I will get back to your point. I know I keep on riffing off of your point.
That's fine, Dr. Go
ahead. We do have a lot of veterans, and they are very generous with their time in terms of volunteering for studies. So we have an exceptional ability to recruit patients into studies in the VA nationwide, and in particular at the Minneapolis VA, because veterans are much more likely to volunteer for studies than the general population, because I think they feel a sense of responsibility to their fellow veterans, and they want to help, and they want to increase knowledge that will help future veterans.
And they're still serving, aren't they?
They are still serving, exactly.
Doctor, I noticed that when we introduced you, that you work at the VA, but you also teach over at the University of Minnesota. And my resident, and I think the last three residents I've had out there, seemed like they work at the VA and they work over at the University of Minnesota, and the University of Minnesota is a research hospital too. Is there a direct correlation? Do you trade a lot of information back and forth?
Absolutely. So the residents that work at the Minneapolis VA are University of Minnesota residents in either surgery or internal medicine or rehab or a variety of other specialties. And they get part of their training at the Minneapolis VA. And as faculty at the Minneapolis VA, we are teaching those University of Minnesota residents in those various disciplines.
And so it's just like every time we go off to war and fight a war, the doctors seem to take a great leap in technology and figure out how to fix things. And now here at the University of Minnesota, if those residents are over at the VA, they've got lots of patients and they're getting lots of experience quickly, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to dig into a little bit some of your favorite research projects that are going on over at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. We're speaking with Dr. Hannah Bloomfield on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Dr. Hannah Bloomfield, who is in charge of the research out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. She's been out there for a few years and involved in many, many research projects. How many would you say are ongoing at any one time?
Well, about 600 with 140 investigators and $25 million in funding, external funding.
How do you keep track of 600 projects, ma'am?
I have a great staff.
I hope so. We've been talking about the fact that at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, there's about 100,000 patients, and I happen to be one of them. And I've gotten great treatment out there, and signed up for some of these research projects, like the Million Veteran Study, so we can share the information and learn from that. But could you walk us through a couple of research projects that are emblematic of what you're doing out there?
Well, the one that immediately comes to mind is a food security study that I think just came out or is about to come out. And this is a study we did looking at veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. And it found a very high prevalence of food insecurity in these returning veterans. So food insecurity refers to people who aren't 100% sure that they're going to have enough to eat that day or that month. And this was studied. It was published in a peer review journal. And now it's going to be, I think it's on November 18th, it's going to be the subject of a congressional briefing. So our researchers from Minneapolis are going to Washington to brief some of the congressional committees on this problem. Hopefully, we can do better by our veterans by understanding this kind of information and doing something about it. So that's a very practical impact of some of the research we do. Another very practical thing that has gotten a lot of press recently is we have a bunch of biomedical engineers who are in the research department at the Minneapolis VA, and they have come up recently with a standing wheelchair that allows veterans who are wheelchair bound to stand up and while they're standing, be mobile. And this is an amazing thing. You should, if we weren't on the radio and if we were on TV, I'd show you a picture of it. But you can Google it and you can find out. So this this standing wheelchair was designed by our engineers at doing research at the Minneapolis VA, and we're hoping that this will make a huge, huge quality of life impact for veterans who are wheelchair bound.
That was designed to have them actually stand up and put some weight on their lower extremities?
They don't put weight on their lower extremities, but via a ingenious mechanism, which I don't completely understand because I'm not a biomedical engineer, they can wheel themselves while they're standing. They're strapped into the wheelchair, but they're standing. So if you think about it, if you need to go from cabinet to cabinet in your kitchen, instead of you can do that with this wheelchair. And we're talking about regular height cabinets. So it's pretty amazing.
So increased mobility then.
Increased mobility, exactly.
And some independence.
Exactly.
Pretty important.
Yeah. So let's see. Those are two examples. We have had research. Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? We're doing research on the Gulf War syndrome. So this is an example of basic science research where a lot of veterans coming back from the original war in the Middle East have this really debilitating syndrome called Gulf War syndrome, and nobody really understands the mechanism. And if you don't understand the mechanism, it's hard to figure out how to treat it. So we're doing some basic science research where we're trying to understand what is going on basically in the immune system of people who have Gulf War syndrome. And we're starting a study that's going to look at steroids to see. We think it might be an inflammatory reaction to some sort of exposure over there that is chronic. So we're starting a trial that is funded by the Department of Defense looking at steroids to see if that can help patients who have really debilitating symptoms from Gulf War syndrome. So that's another thing that's going on.
And of course, we've learned over the years that Agent Orange affected a lot of the people in Vietnam, and all those oil wells burning during the first Gulf War had to have an effect on some of the troops there as
well. Yeah, I mean, you figure it's got to have, but we haven't been able to pinpoint what it is. So we're still working on that, and VA and DOD are still putting money into that. So that's a good thing. We just published a paper in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Paluzny and Dr. Lim, on meditation for PTSD symptoms, showing that if you train veterans who have bothersome PTSD symptoms in meditation, they feel a lot better. So there's a wonderful advance, and that got a lot of press.
We're speaking with Dr. Hannah Bloomfield about research at the Minneapolis Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, I'm sure that a lot of the common things you're talking about, such as PTSD, we've studied that a lot in the last several decades, and we've had some other colleagues of yours on, and it sounds like VA hospital knows how to treat it and knows how to help our veterans. So if they have some of those problems, they should get a hold of the VA Medical Center and get in there.
Absolutely. And if people want to volunteer, I guess I could put a plug in here, hopefully. If people are interested in finding out more about our research or volunteering for a research study, you could go to our website, which I have not memorized, but it is www.minneapolis.va.gov/Minneapolis/research. And you'll find all of the ongoing studies there. You'll find news there about new research projects and information on our investigators.
So there's really two parts of that at the VA Medical Center. You take in volunteers just to help run the medical center and escort people around, but you're also looking for veterans to volunteer for some of these studies.
Absolutely.
So any of our listeners out there in the Twin Cities or near want to volunteer, I'm sure you've got openings at Minneapolis and up at St. Cloud, and I'd encourage them to go to your website and do that. I understand that you published yourself an important study in the past year.
I did.
Can you tell us about
it? Got a lot of interesting press. My colleagues and I looked at all the literature on the value of the pelvic examination, and there are, of course, we know women veterans, on the pelvic examination in asymptomatic average risk women to see whether women need this exam every year. As you can imagine, I know you're a guy, but as you can imagine, it's not a very pleasant exam to have if you don't need it. And so based on that work, we published in the Annals of Internal Medicine a systematic review showing that there's really no evidence that women need that exam every year. And this was the basis for an American College of Physicians guideline that is now recommending that routine annual pelvic examinations be discontinued. So that got, I don't know, a lot of press. I went out to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and debated with them about it. But this is an example of the kind of research we do that really has an impact and has the potential to, not only do we want to find out what works, but we want to find out in medicine what doesn't work and stop doing it.
Doctor, as long as you brought that up, we've had on some other folks from the Minneapolis VA Hospital, and you've actually got some great care available for the lady veterans, the women veterans out at the hospital, and it's my understanding you can do everything except deliver babies.
That's right, and I believe that one of our investigators is involved in a study that's actually looking at maternity care in the VA, but I will have to hold that for a different program because I don't know anything about it.
All right, Doctor, we've got about a minute left. How do you decide which items, which crises, which problems to start researching? How do you arrive at that decision?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, we go where the money is. So it costs a lot of money to do research. And the VA, the National Institutes of Health, the Department of Defense, various foundations all put out requests for proposals for areas that they're interested in. So one of the main ways we decide what to do is what is their money for? But generally that correlates with the important issues of the day. And so that's kind of where we, how we figure it out. And of course, just looking at our veterans that we see day to day in the clinics, and we think of questions that we don't really have answers to. And that helps us define our research agenda.
Doctor, it's been interesting to talk to you about this whole process and all the research projects out there, and we've just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and all the good research you're doing?
Go to our website and find out, and we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to have you participate in our projects.
Doctor, thanks for joining us today. Dr. Hannah Bloomfield from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll visit with Toys for Military Kids.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about Toys for Military Kids. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Back in July, the Minnesota Military Museum at Camp Ripley opened a special exhibit about the Vietnam War. The exhibit, called Minnesota Voices of the Vietnam War, is all about the stories. It exhibits displays of text from 70 Minnesota veterans describing their experiences. It's a conversation between the veterans and the audience, with uniforms, military equipment, and other pieces on display. I encourage you, no, I strongly encourage you, to stop by Camp Ripley, which is open to the public, and check this amazing exhibit out.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Affairs, but today she's joining me in her capacity as a producer of this show, representing the BeyondTheYellowRibbon.com website and everything else that's out there. That's our favorite website, isn't it, Annette?
Absolutely. That's a great website.
BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, excuse me.
Yes.
BTYR.org. Either way, you can get at it. And you've arranged for a guest to come on the show, one that we've had on each year that we've aired the show over the last 5 years.
Yes, through our partnership with the Association of the United States Army VESI chapter here and the Egan Yellow Ribbon Network, we are excited to have Mike Clark back for Toys for Military Kids, a growing organization that is truly helping our military youth across the state and beyond.
Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
I know that you were supposed to be here with Les Hansen today, but Les is traveling. And Les was the guy, I think, that started Toys for Military Kids. Can you tell us about the background?
Yes. Les Hansen, Egan resident, started this program shortly after 9/11. And he found a niche in the organization that he wanted to be able to provide toys for military kids because many of the parents were deployed, and the kids understood that mom and dad went to work, sometimes overseas, but why didn't Santa Claus come? So he saw an opportunity to be able to raise money for the military kids, and that's what he struck out to do. And in 2002, he started this in earnest. He came to the Egan Yellow Ribbon organization in November of 2013 and wanted to step back after a very successful decade of work, and gave me the opportunity to take this on in his capacity and raise money and toys for the military children in basically a 3 or 4 state region.
So you stepped up as the next volunteer to take over the job of collecting up money and toys and locating military families, which is hard to do, by the way, that might be in need of some toys in order to celebrate Christmas.
That's correct.
Now, let's start with that. How do you find the military families that would enjoy some help?
Well, we've been very successful in having the Family Assistance Center and the Family Readiness Guild send out applications on our behalf to units throughout the state, and they in turn fill those out and send them back to me, and then we fill those orders. And the application has information on it, such as when their party is, when they're going to be distributing the toys, whether they need a Santa Claus or not, and the gender and age of the youth that who need the toys. So we fill those orders based on the information that they give us.
Are these units just Minnesota National Guard, or are they reserve as well?
Well, we've been able to cross all of the armed forces with it. We're still looking for Coast Guard, but we've got everything. We've filled something for the other four armed forces. So We're looking for a Coast Guard unit out there.
So you're working with the Minnesota National Guard, both Air and Army.
Yes.
And then you're working with the reserve units, probably out at the 934th, because they've got the Marines and Navy and Army and Air Force out there, too.
That's right.
Well, that's great that you're able to reach out to all of those. And now I understand that you have a series of Christmas parties that you hold.
That's correct. Some of the units hold parties in conjunction with drill weekend. Some of the units just distribute toys. But there's a rather large one that's going to be at Holman Field on December 4th, which is going to be four units, about 150 kids. And it should be quite the operation. In fact, Santa Claus is handing toys out in a Huey helicopter.
That should be fun to see. Now, Mike, we've had Les on the show every year, I think, that we've been on the air, but I can't recall. How big is this now? How many toys do you give out each year?
Last year, we supplied 30 units from Duluth to the Iowa border and Collegeville to Wausau, Wisconsin, probably 1,500 to 1,600 toys.
Yeah, what kind of a dollar value to put on that?
$15 to $20,
so
approximately.
Total is, what's it come to?
About $25,000,
$30,000. Okay. And so you were the recipient of 10 years of hard work for Les putting this all together, and now you're responsible for getting it organized and finding contributions, dollar contributions and toys each year to keep this program going.
That's correct. He left us an incredible database and a great network of people that have stepped forward to help me make this a successful event.
We're speaking with Mike Clark from Toys for Military Kids on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Mike, Les came to, a Yellow Ribbon meeting, and you were at the Yellow Ribbon meeting, and he talked you into this all in one evening.
I wouldn't say he talked me into it in one evening, but he came in November of 2013 and talked about the event, and I had a chance to think about it. He didn't say, well, you got to decide by midnight tonight. He said, here's an opportunity. Think about it. If you're not interested, I'll try another Yellow Ribbon organization. But he wanted to put it in the hands of an entity that could give it more visibility. And the Yellow Ribbon organization probably was a perfect fit. In fact, last year, and I can't take credit for it, but we were bestowed an honor by the young lady to my right.
That'd be Annette Kuiper.
Outstanding volunteer effort for 2014. So, I mean,
congratulations.
Enough said. Well, it wasn't all me.
Well, I just wonder what your wife said when you came home and told her you were thinking about taking on this project.
Well, it's really odd because I came home. I was given not only a trophy award, but I was given a National Guard knapsack. And when I came home with it, my wife was cleaning out. We do a puppet ministry at our church, and she was making room for the military things that I have accumulated. And I presented her with this, and she kind of said, oh, great, more military stuff. So
here we go.
Yeah. But it's been very rewarding for both of us, all of the things we've been involved in.
Now, Mike, I've known you for a while, and I've known Les for a while, so I know this is kind of a year-long project for you. You're working on it all the time, aren't you?
I've had a number of opportunities to be able to work on it all year long, as you know, and it looks like the scars have healed nicely from your celebrity scooping at Scoops for Troops, but I was able to advertise it there. I was able to do it at Warrior 196. I go to the Joint Retirement Appreciation Day out at Mystic Lake on the same day and advertise it there. There's an inordinate amount of opportunities to put this program out into the military public to make them aware of it. And word of mouth through the units that have participated is just phenomenal.
I did have to recover from some scars. You put me scooping ice cream with Neil Freeman, and he caught me a few times with his scoop. So that was tough duty.
Yep.
But it was fun, and you had a good turnout that day,
yes,
too.
Yes, we did.
So you are out raising money all year, and you're out collecting toys all year. Where do you store these toys?
We have a storage unit in Eagan that we utilize, but right now pretty much the toys are at our house. We've discovered it's easier to fill the orders basically room to room, and as empty nesters, we have lots of rooms, and we have one room is a 0 to 2, one is 3 to 5, 6 to 9, 10 through 13, And I have to credit Sandy, my wife, for I guess, keeping everything so organized.
So your house is full of toys all year long. You've got the gray hair. Are you going to grow a beard too, Mike?
Probably not.
You're doing Santa Claus's work pretty well.
Yep.
Mike, we're going to have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about all the things you do to provide toys for military kids. Speaking with Mike Clark on Minnesota Military Radio, please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Annette Kuiper today in her capacity as our Yellow Ribbon producer, and Mike Clark from Toys for Military Kids. Mike, I just want to go over this one more time. You inherited a program from Les Hansen, who did this for 10 years under the umbrella of the AUSA, the VESE chapter. And it's a program to collect up toys for military kids from families that might be deployed or just might be unable to afford toys at Christmas time. Les discovered a need for that some time ago, and you stepped into his position. And is this your second or third Christmas that you're doing this?
It feels like the third, but it's only the second.
Number two.
Yeah.
All right. And how many unit Christmas parties have you been to so far?
I've been to three. One at Holman Field, the big one with 150 kids, and then one at Bloomington Armory that we had your neighbors down the hall do a remote, and looking forward to doing that again this year.
Okay, and that'd be Chris Carr from K-102 helping
yes,
out.
Yes, that's correct.
He's doing a great job.
Yes, he is.
And how many more unit parties do you have between now and Christmas?
The big weekend probably is going to be December 4th and 5th. Last year, that Holman Field party was in the middle of November. The good news is they moved it to December 4th, but that's when pretty much a lot of the other ones are too. So our house is going to be jam-packed around Thanksgiving because we'll have all the toys maybe a week and a half ahead so that the units can get their toys if they want to wrap them. And some of them are going up as far as Duluth, Grand Rapids, Collegeville, Eau Claire, Wausau. So we've got to get those toys out in time for them to do whatever they need to do with them for their parties.
So do you still need some volunteers between now and the end of the year?
Well, we can always use more help, and they could email me at msclark454@comcast.net, or they could go to the vesechapter.org website, and under the Get Involved, there's a link to Toys for Military Kids.
And Annette, how long ago did you meet Mike?
Oh, I would say about 3 years ago. Met Mike when he was involved with the Egan Yellow Ribbon Network.
And you're always pulling people together to help everybody, so you've been helping him out a little bit too?
Well, this just proves the synchronization of effort that is making Minnesota such a national model for how we can identify gaps in military-connected or veteran-connected families, and we can make things happen here in Minnesota. And Toys for Military Kids has done just that.
And I'd like to give you a big thank you. We have you on the air quite often, but we talk about your capacity of Director of Military Affairs, but you're also a part-time producer for the show and collect up some pretty interesting guests for us from time to time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike, back to Toys for Military Kids. If you need some, you're looking for volunteers now and in the future. So as you said, they can go to vesechapter.org and they can find out more information about toys and the number four, Toys for Military Kids. And you're probably looking for not only donations of toys, but for some money so that you can buy toys for certain ages that maybe you don't get donated?
That's correct. The big ages that we kind of have a need for now is 6 to 9 and 10 through 13. Being grandparents of 6-month-old to 6-year-old, those kids are going to be spoiled because we know what those kids enjoy, but it's a 6 to 9 in the 10 through 13 age. But we've got some shopping trips planned with some youth groups in Egan, and also some adult groups that know more than we do. So we're looking forward to those, and they always enjoy spending other people's money.
Now we talked a little bit in the first segment about scoops for troops.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that? That was something that happened last summer, and you talked me into coming out there with Neil Freeman from Bob FM, and he wounded me a little bit when we were scooping ice creams, but we'll survive.
I had the pleasure of meeting one of the co-founders of Scoops for Troops at a veterans dinner, And it's interesting, not being in the military, there's so much that I have to learn. But for the military, there's so much that they have to learn about what the civilians do. And I was able to provide a lot of networking opportunities for them. But Scoops for Troops is a 5K run, a 3K walk, a silent auction, a pizza and ice cream social that was started by two moms that met each other planting flowers on the graves of their sons who were killed a week apart about 8 years ago and buried literally head to toe at Fort Snelling. And they came up with the idea to have this to carry on a legacy for their kids.
And one of them was Sandy Masterson, who's been on the show. And who was the second?
Gwen Olson. In fact, she was at my house Tuesday when I had 13 volunteers from UPS that went all over the Twin Cities and dropped off boxes and picked up Caribou Coffee, which we also provide to the troops when they come to pick up their toys. But she happened to meet all of them. And this year's toy drive is dedicated to the honor of Dan Olson, her son. And I just felt it was important for her to meet them and for them to meet her so that there just wasn't a face on the box, because we have a laminated picture of Dan Olson and a biography on each box that's out. And those boxes will be listed, or locations will be listed on the website at VESEchapter.org.
Mike, you're doing great work. And what do you need now? Volunteers, money, and where do they go to find out more?
All of the above.
All of the above, volunteers and money.
Yep.
And they can go to VESEchapter.org to find out more.
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thank you.
Annette, I shouldn't be surprised, but in this conversation we've had today, we're talking about Gold Star Moms, Minnesota Military Radio Network folks. We're talking about Yellow Ribbon people, everybody pulling together to, as you say, fill the holes. Isn't that fun?
Oh, that's what it's all about. And that's what's made us just the envy of the nation, that our state has been able to really come together and synchronize and coordinate our resources for our veterans and military-connected residents.
It's really a great thing to watch, and it's fun to tell the stories about these. And thank you for helping us as a producer, and thanks for bringing Mike in today.
Thank you. We look forward to another great holiday season with Toys for Military Kids.
That was Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Affairs from BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and Mike Clark from Toys for Military Kids on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Lisa Klink, who is also the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. Lisa, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Lisa, this is your first time on the show with us, and you're going to be with us the coming year. How many veterans do you have in Sibley County?
We have around 1,200 veterans in our county.
And how long?
Currently taking benefits, benefits.
And how long have you been the County Veteran Service Officer?
I'm in my eighth year.
Are you having fun?
I'm enjoying it. Best job ever.
Very good. And as we always tell our veterans that listen to the show, if you haven't met your County Veteran Service Officer, go find your DD-214, your discharge certificate. Go in and meet your County Veteran Service Officer. Get registered. That's the place for everything veteran, because Lisa, you and all the County Veteran Service Officers are studying all the resources all the time, aren't you?
Correct. Yes, and we are your advocate and your boat to sail through the whole VA process. So we're there to help you.
So you can file claims for them and document them, and then they can get to a veteran service organization to advocate for them and help them get that. And once they do, and they're accepted, and they get some VA care entitlements, then these days there's a new program out called the Choice Program. Can you tell us what that's about?
Correct. A little over a year ago, the VA was having some struggles with some of the hospitals and getting care in a timely amount, timely fashion. And so basically Congress put into place the Choice Program, which its intent is to be a temporary program to allow veterans to go to the outside services, such as your local doctor or hospital, to get services. Now, there's two different methods. Either you're within the 40-mile range. If you're within 40 miles, you have had to have gotten an appointment for 30 days. Your appointment must be 30 days out. And if it is, then you can be on a list and research to go out into the market and get a appointment with a local doctor. Now, this has been taking some time, and one of the other things is if you're out of the range, if you're 40 miles, and with Sibley County, where a good portion of our veterans here are out of the 40-mile radius, and with that, they're able to go to their local doctors. They have to call the 1-800 number and get an authorization in advance. And so those are some of the challenges that the CHOICE program is facing right now with those areas of getting appointments and getting back.
So this was a program to speed up medical care for our veterans that either live too far away or couldn't get an appointment quick enough, you know, that the Congress passed. And how's the program working?
You know, I think it was a good idea. I think it has some great potential. However, it was really done fast, and I think a lot of the things were not seen that could potentially become problems. One of the biggest challenges that we're faced with is that every time you go to see a doctor outside of the VA, you have to get an authorization. Well, that makes it very difficult for continuous care.
Lisa, we're just about out of time. Thanks for that update on the CHOICE program for our veterans.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak.
That was Lisa Klenk, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Hannah Bloomfield, Mike Clark, Lisa Klenk, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us on Veterans Day live from 6 to 9 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, or iHeartRadio. And join us for our regular program next week with Representative Tom Emmer and Tee It Up for the Troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.